And now we turn our attention to Globe Mayor Al Gameros this month. How are you, Al?
Good. How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
Well, I'll give my July report. I'll start with the NRCS, the Creek Project update, which we received around the middle of July from Tiffany Construction. And we also have Civil Tech there, who's our engineering firm that engineered the project. They told us that the major sediment removal had been completed. They had removed about 48,000 cubic yards to date when they gave us that report in the 2.8 miles of stretch in the creek in the Globe city limits. So phase one of the project is now 90% complete, and they've only utilized, and that's a good news, utilized 40% of the allocated funding. So I think if you remember in the initial NRCS award, we were awarded $24 million. $3 million was forgivable. We didn't have to pay back. That was for engineering. So $21 million was actual project, was a 75-25. With that 40%, they spent, they're pretty close to around $10 million. So that leaves us extra funding there for future projects in that initial $21 million. They'll transition now with what they're at right now to phase two. And what that does is focuses on the bank stabilization in accordance to what Civil Tech has engineered. That'll concentrate efforts in protecting the existing structures, businesses, homes, and roadways. There's going to be 9 priority areas along the creek side and Globe that have been identified. And what they're going to do to strengthen the creek banks, they'll install approximately 16,000 cubic yards of large angular rock. And this will be prepared over a surface dug out and then covered with underlying material. We've seen some of that work taking place down by McSpadden Ford in downtown area in the bridge there by the dance studio in La Casita. This is supposed to be cost-effective and efficient enough with the angular rock that interlocks while it just laid in there. And it creates a durable and a stable structure that will extend. And they said about 6 to 8 feet into the ground, the base below. So they'll dig down below so it can't wash out. And this phase two is expected to take about 5 weeks to complete. Currently we're under the 220-day time frame for this initial funding. We're close to getting to the end of it, which is September 11th. So that's the time frame we got left to complete some of these projects. We're getting close.
That's tight. That is tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but the other good thing is that we just this week, and that'll be in my next month, we just filed for an extension. So we'll let the 9/11 time frame come to an end, but we'll have an extension to be able to move into phase three project.
Oh, good. Is that something that is likely to be granted?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we can file an extension. So we, with only $10 million, we're about $10 million with phase one and two. 25% of that, if we remember, is $2.5 million to the city of Globe.
Yes.
Because we'll get reimbursed. But with the state budget that Governor Hobbs signs, we were awarded $2.5 million. So that's going to help cover the first phase one and two of the project, which is great.
Yes. So when you mentioned that that $10 million for phase one, phase two, what is that going to cost?
Yeah, phase one and two is what we're going to complete.
Oh, okay.
With the $10 million.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
so both of those phases, that's good.
Both phases. So
excellent.
What we're doing with this one is we're planning for phase three, still under phase two, and we're going to focus on design construction for permanent retaining walls and using shot creek in areas that need additional stabilization. So we're talking like areas behind La Casita where that wall washed out.
Yes.
They will design a wall there that we'll build onto to help strengthen and stabilize where it breached that wall. And then they'll also design, and we'll do some shot creek there. And then we're also where Broadway Street washed out the road where it's still closed. That's going to take more than just this angular rock that they're laying into the banks. we're going to go ahead and design some stabilization there. Probably you'll have to put rebar, and we'll do some shotcrete there, and then we'll be able to repave that road into Barati Street to be able to open up for the public and for emergency response too.
Good.
Yeah, so that'll be in design phase 1 and 2. And so we're gonna file for an extension. Like I said, it's NRCS and EWP funding opportunities as far as moving on to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what the cost is on phase 3 at this point. Not really sure. We'll have to, once we get designed, because we have enough money for that, then we'll have to go back and they'll bring it back to us with a cost estimate, and then we'll have to approve it as a no more than that amount.
Okay.
So for that part, it's looking good. You know, the waterways have been cleaned out. We had a couple of good rains, which brought more sediment down into the creeks. They went ahead and cleaned it out again. If you've seen, they're continuing to clean out what they're doing. I think, you know, Tanner, construction has been amazing, not only with the work they're doing in our community, but we've even working with the residents and letting them know every step what's going on and communicating with them. That they've really been good.
Good.
For this area. I'm real impressed with their work and their, you know, their customer service.
Excellent.
You bet. Let's see, what did I have next? Globe Post. Well, the City of Globe has posted an emergency response timeline. I know there are questions of everything going on, so we have posted a timeline for September 25th from the night of the flood. We're still until July, and it's ongoing, but we have it up to July 26th. And this can be reviewed on the City of Globe's website under flood information, and it'll give dates to every step that we've done, from emergency declaration to paperwork to, you know, contracts and everything. So all of it's on that timeline.
Excellent.
We had a special meeting on the 21st of July. And we approved 16 resolutions, and these are from individuals and businesses, and this was for permanent public drainage easements as part of the ongoing sediment removal project in our waterways. Again, we don't want to, every time we're going to do some cleanup, because obviously when we develop plans for the future, we need to do ongoing maintenance from here on out. So we don't want to go to the process of having to get right-of-ways to get into their property every time. So this doesn't give their property to us, but it allows us to get in there and do cleanup when necessary for the future.
Oh, that's great, and that will apply to all the properties?
You bet, to all the properties. And the other thing is we're making it more convenient, too, with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which they'll be returning visit this week. So we, you know, because not only do we have to have permission from the residents, but the Army Corps of Engineers controls everything we do in the waterways. So we want to make sure that that's an ongoing approval from them, so we don't have to go through all the paperwork and hassle again.
Yes.
So that'll work out for this part of the projects.
Great.
We'll move on to soil and debris removal, and we put out a notice. If you need help removing post-flood soil and debris, and we want people to call, and this is a number, 928-473-4403, that's a Miami number, and then 928-961-1428. And what you'll need to do is just provide them with a name, an address, a phone number, email address, and a description of what's requested for removal. What's been organized is T. Brubicon volunteer teams are working together with Tiffany Construction to be able to remove that. So Team Brubicon will help you remove it from your property. So Tiffany Construction will be able to pick it up and get it, and they are donating their labor and their equipment to collect and transport the post-flood debris, which will have to be transported to Apache Junction at this time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's huge. So if people need some debris or removal or affected by the flood, call these numbers, set it up with them so we can get that debris out of here. And then United Fund of Globe Miami has stepped up to cover the cost of the landfill at Apache Junction.
Oh, great.
So it'll really be it'll be like a zero cost for the residents of the Globe Miami community.
Good.
So those numbers are out there, and you have them, and, you know, if we put them out there, there is posters that we can share also.
Absolutely, and I'll also get them on the KQSS website.
Appreciate that very much. Online interactive zoning mapping, we approved that. So we upgraded. This is upgraded. It's online interactive zoning mapping program, and it makes it easier than ever before for both residents and business to access important property information. Using the interactive map, you can search by parcel number or the property address to quickly find zoning district information, floodway and floodplain designations, city limits, and other property-related details.
How do you get there?
Let me get to where it's at. It says, this upgraded tool provides convenient, reliable, immediate access to information that previously required contacting or visiting multiple sites. I know they had to go to county sites, city sites, and everything just to get there. By bringing these resources together in one place, the city is improving accessibility, reducing the downtime, and making it easier for residents, property owners, developers, and businesses to find the information that they need. Doesn't show that, but it'll have to be on our website.
Okay.
And I would go to zoning.
Okay.
It'd be online interactive zoning mapping program. So they have a section there for zoning, and they'll be able to get everything in that one section instead of having to go back and forth.
That's great.
So, huge. You know, sometimes people want to know when they're in a floodplain, a flood zone. They want to know if they're in the city limits. They want to know what the zoning designation is. So this will be vital for them.
Okay.
Good. The PHI membership, I think it ended this week. We encourage people to sign up again for membership, again for flights out of Globe Miami by PHI, which is AeroVac. I think they got a huge response, you know, at the $30 a year.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that I talked to signed up for 5 years for $150.
Wow. So, absolutely. That's such a bargain. And, you know, I wrote to them. I was interested in a number of things. But what I really wanted to know for the city of Globe is a lot of people on Medicare think, well, it's covered no matter what. And that's not necessarily true. It might be, but it might not. And why gamble for $30? But is it too late to sign up now?
You know, I'm going to call her again, and I'll call you back again tomorrow. I'm going to see if it extends till the end of August. I know August 12th was a deadline. But let me find out if it isn't, because I know they got a good response. They came here on the weekend, and we're at Copper City's Coffee, and we're signing up people there on the 8th. And there was a lot of people when I went by there to signing up. So I'll call Carrie, who's the manager, the membership manager, and get an update as to how many people signed up and if it's too late.
When you talk to her, if you would, the one thing they haven't answered and the thing we've gotten quite a bit of email on is for people in the county or the city of Miami, town of Miami, what programs are there for them? If she'll tell you, that would be great, because I know we've really publicized the city of Globe, but a lot of people, you know, Central Heights or Claypool, they're saying, hey, I want in on something too. What can I get?
Yeah, and that is the same. It's not going to be the $30 a year. But I was told that it's a $40 a year. You know, I know somebody that signed up in the Claypool area, and it was $40 a year for the membership.
Still a big bargain, and that's for your whole family. Yeah, I can't imagine everybody not doing this, because if you're not covered by your insurance, and you might not be, this literally could bankrupt you.
Oh, yeah, you could look at $60,000 bill, and even if you're 10% copay, that's still a lot of money for people.
It absolutely is. I'm going to figure out what non-city residents can do and get that on our news, because I know there's interest in that. And by the way, I went to the City of Globe. It's really easy as far as that goes. What the best thing to do is just look at the menu. And on the menu, they have interactive maps right there. And you can you can take a look at it. So, you know, sometimes navigating a website is just a headache. But this is really easy.
Oh, yeah.
So just go to menu and you'll get to interactive maps.
Great, great. I know our staff has worked at it because that was a big complaint. It was too difficult, and I'm not savvy with with programs, and it has to be easy for me, or I'm not going to do it, you know?
Oh, absolutely, so, yeah. And you're right about what a nightmare this was, because sometimes you want to find out maybe about a neighbor's property or whatever. You've got information you just want, and literally it was an all-day adventure.
Yep, and then it's hard to talk to somebody that's human.
Right.
To talk to answering machines and everything else. So, yeah, I hope this helps out. It's supposed to. They presented it, and we were impressed with the program and what it does.
Great.
Good. Good. I'm glad you looked it up.
Yeah.
Coffee with the Mayor is canceled for next week, so it won't be on this month. We'll be at the Arizona League of Cities Conference. It's the annual one we go to, but we'll resume it in September at the same location. Same day, but I may have to change the time because Copper Cities has changed their times also.
Oh.
It may be earlier, like 11 or 12. I may go instead of 1. So
okay.
We'll have to wait and see what they do. So that was my full report. The other thing, you know, I'll have other stuff available with the extension of the NNRCS and what the project entails and the cost in the next one. Yesterday, we hosted Attorney General Chris May. She came to Globe and wanted to get a history and a background of what was going on with the flooding. We did tour. She was here about an hour and a half. We took her to different locations to look at what we did, explained our FEMA process. And she was, like I said, she was really surprised, too, that we were not given that declaration with the amount of damage that we showed. It's just, you know, we showed $96 million in damage, and we have pending about 110 projects that we're going to have to complete in the future. The good thing is that we're working closely with the state and NDEMA, so we are going to be tied into them for probably the next decade doing this project. But the good thing about it is as long as we do it the right way, requirements, that we're still with that 75% reimbursement.
That is good. But, you know, it's interesting, when we recorded our last meeting, we did not mention initially the denial because we wanted to give plenty of time for the governor to announce something. But to the best of my knowledge, the governor never did.
No, you know, and she sent us a letter, and the letter that we got and from FEMA was that it didn't rise to the magnitude of severity to really have a declaration issued on it. That's what we got.
Right.
Now, we're waiting for further detailed information. The Attorney General was really interested in that because, you know, as you know, they filed lawsuits with the federal government already, and they represent us as a rural community too. But she was telling me they have about 49 lawsuits against the federal government on different issues. But this is one of them that they're looking at to see why we were not, we were denied the declaration.
Yeah,
and there's been additional letters sent by bipartisan representatives, senators, and again, after the denial. Yeah.
Yeah, and as I say, it just surprised me because, of course, you gave her the courtesy of making that announcement, and it seemed that she didn't prevail, so she didn't want to announce it because there was never anything public, and that was surprising. Had you not announced it, and also, of course, Supervisor Humphrey, we never would have known.
Yeah, yeah. I think they finally did it. She did announce it in the end because I think it was I saw it on the news channel, I think one of the channels, 10 and 3, where they did announce it, the denial for the flooding.
Good, I missed that.
But I don't know what the time frame.
Of course, you and Tim both were first on that, and we hated the news, but we were glad to know. Now, as far as good news, I understand that the city has dismissed the citations that were flood-related.
Yeah, you know, and that was in the J.S. Hayes Road. Those were the ones, the citation that were issued in April. Obviously, that has been mitigated, you know, and I did a public apology on my last meeting to these residents. What I wanted to do is I was just apologizing for the process and how it unfolded. You know, as we look at it now in the mirror, we need to make sure that we evaluate before, you know, we look at things as how they affect indirectly. But really the intent was public safety for that and to help move along the recovery process. That's really what it was. And what it did, it prompted the United Fund to step up and go ahead and bring money forward for mitigation of asbestos lead, for environmental, and to remove or to tear down, demolish the residence, and to haul it off. And that was about a $45,000 a piece cost for the resident.
That's great. So. Yeah, no, your intent, of course, was great for public safety, but it had the unanticipated consequence of really being an absolute slap in the face for people who were suffering badly. So glad that was resolved. And you mentioned asbestos and lead, and that's something that's important to bring out, too, when you're talking about public safety, because I think most people think, well, it's just an eyesore. But it was more than that, because when you've got exposed asbestos and lead issues, this is something that really does need to be cleaned up.
You bet. It needs to be tested, you know, not only because of the flood water, but some of these homes, you know, are, you know, when were they built? You know, when homes are built greater than 1971, you know, structures like that do have asbestos lead. So you got to do environmentals before you actually tear them down or any structure, commercial or residential, on there.
Right. And, you know, going back that far, 55 years ago, we didn't know. Asbestos was a wonder substance, it was thought, and no one realized the effect it could have on health. So it's widely used in anything constructed, certainly before 1971.
Yeah, you bet. And anytime you disturb it, if you're in a commercial building or you're a public building, it was built prior to the 70s, it has to be tested. And if it tests positive, then it's got to be abated before you even do even any construction or upgrades.
Right, and you know, that's just it. You mentioned something good, because when we're talking about this, people may worry, saying, "Oh my God, I'm living in a 1964 house." Well, the reality is, if you do not disturb it, it will remain inert. So the bottom line is, if you're in an older home, and especially if you're doing a do-it-yourself construction, do not cut into those walls until you know what's there.
Exactly, you said it right. It just, as long as you're not touching it or disturbing it, you're okay. But once you start disturbing it, make sure you test it for your health.
Right.
So, did I get any emails or calls for answers, questions?
Well, you know, actually, what I was asking about the PHI was the email. It wasn't City of Globe particularly, but it did. All the outreach you did caused a lot of interest, and I was very pleased to see that. The usual stuff of why is the City of Globe pool closed on the same day that the Town of Miami pool is closed?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you coordinate that? You know, things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah, I think Miami's closed on Sunday, Mondays. We close on Monday just for recovery and maintenance, and then we open up again with a new schedule. Again, it's a modified schedule. The Globe Sharks have a high school team, swim team now, and they'll be utilizing the pool a lot, too, for practice and stuff.
Now, that was related emails I got in terms of, I go to the pool and it's being used for something else and they won't let me in, you know, that kind of thing. Is there a way to find that out? Is there a website that will tell you what the actual operating hours are day to day, as opposed to just the, you know, regular schedule?
It should be posted on our website. And I know I have seen the posting of it, but it should be posted on our website as to actual times and everything. Obviously, when there's time or private parties or stuff like that, then those are times when they don't allow the public in, I guess.
Right, exactly. And if you don't know and you plan to go and you got the family together and you get there, it's obviously disappointing, and particularly if like Town of Miami is closed as well. But I'm looking now, and I do not see on the menu where I would find pool information. So I guess maybe if you can check that out for next time. Of course, pool will be closing, I recognize, but nonetheless, some easy way that people can find out, hey, should I go or shouldn't I? And is it possible you will coordinate with the Town of Miami? Maybe you're saying we're closed on Mondays. Well, if they're going to be closed on Mondays, maybe that can be Tuesdays or something, or maybe they can close on a different day, so that people always have pool access to one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Miami will be closing their pool, I understand, pretty close here. And I think ours is going to stay open up through October, maybe into November. I don't know
Oh, good.
Exactly
yeah.
the time
yeah.
frame. Yeah. So That's something I will get back with you right away with the PHI information that you asked about in the pool. I will call you, and, okay. and that way you can have it for this week to put that information out there.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, Big John's newscast morning and afternoon, we highlight all of that information. That's really what they're for, is local information.
Yeah, we hear it. I listen to it, and, it is great, all the information you guys put out. You bet.
Well, that's what we're licensed to do, you know, I mean, serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And, we thought long and hard about that because, of course, we could do salacious news or international or national news. But the reality is we're not ever going to cover even statewide news as good as other sources. But what we can do that other sources do not do is focus entirely on what's going on locally.
You bet.
And as you've mentioned, one of the things that is unfortunate is the amount of people who will gripe on a public a social website like a Facebook, but will not take it to you. So we like, when we hear information that's going out there, we like to confirm and get it on the air correctly.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, because there has been now a little more increase where people are calling me direct. I set up meetings and meet with them directly and share the information, because I will not respond or carry a conversation on social media when I'm talking to some people that don't have a clue of what the issues are, what's going on. They're just there to make comments. So I have made more appointments, meetings with individuals, and I appreciate that, because I think that helps out to solve some of these misinformation out there.
Oh, absolutely, and that'd be a huge waste of time to address it directly. Maybe something like a canned response every now and then, where call this number for the real information or whatever, so that even on those boards, at least people will be able to find out how to contact.
You bet, and I think that, I know our city is putting out more information. And they're more in response to some of these concerns on social media. As they go to the Globe site that has Globe information, they keep updating that on trying to answer questions that people have that there's causing some confusion out there.
And that's
so
great.
So that's been working also.
That's great. But even if it's just a direction to where they can find the information on the city site or who they can call, rather than get involved in a back and forth with people, because that doesn't do any good for anybody, really.
That's for sure. You bet.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's been a good month.
Yeah, it sure has, and I think, we're tested with the rains.
Yes.
And really all we can do is build capacity, prepare ourselves for a worst case scenario. We can't control Mother Nature, but we can help minimize, if we do see something, minimize the damage to our business and our residents for the future. As we move forward, like I said, we formed an IGA with the town of Miami and with the city of Globe, and the county. Freeport is going to be the funder and bringing us together, and we're going to go after and different funding and grants to help us, like the Coconino County did in Flagstaff, and not only for flood within our city, but to mitigate the burn scar of the Telegraph Fire to help fund that.
Yeah, and that can be huge. But you mentioned the rain, and I'm glad you did, because we held up well. A lot of people were very concerned, but as far as I could see, we didn't have excessive problems. Not in the city of Globe, anyway.
No, we did not. It ran. We were there. We were downtown when it came, the worst time of it, and it ran very well. The water was way low, and we were satisfied with that. And there was more work clean out And now the stabilization with these rocks are even more vital. So those will be put in the turn so they don't wash out more.
Well, we're looking up. It's interesting, because we're coming up on a year in not too distant future. And this year could have been very different if it weren't for all your immediate response and outreach to every source and to get those projects underway. From that standpoint, the 220 days is kind of a good thing, because it forces the action to
exactly.
be completed. And everybody's on it. No one's ignoring this. So congratulations.
Yeah, you're right, and you hate to say timelines or deadlines, but that needs to occur if you want to accelerate your recovery for your community and stuff. And I'm glad you mentioned that we are coming up on the 1-year anniversary. We are planning to have something on that Saturday. I think it's a Saturday. It'll be intermixed maybe with my State of the City address. And just not a celebration, but a remembrance just to, you know, God, just to reflect on what happened. And really, the other thing, to honor those individuals that we lost in this flooding also. So we're working on some event to take place on that day, and I'll keep you updated.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to next month's report. And thanks, Al.
You bet.
Thank you. So it's Globe Mayor Al Gomeros on the case. And as we get all the details from Al on all the things we've discussed in this meeting, they absolutely will be on KQSS News Morning and Afternoons.